I'm speaking with Representative Vicky Hartzler of Missouri and wanted to touch base with her. I know we talked before the Farm Bill vote a couple of weeks ago, which actually ended up in an unfortunate defeat. And there's been a lot of talk about, okay, what do we do now? And we still seem to be somewhat in limbo. Vicky, give us a little bit of an update of what has been talked about this week and what are the options at this point for the House as far as a farm bill is concerned?
Sure. There's no decisions that have been made yet, but there's certainly a commitment on a lot of people's parts that we need to get something passed. We need to move forward with, for some certainty for rural America and for the American consumer. The idea that is being discussed this week is to split the farm bill and separate the ag production side from the food stamp portion, which of course makes up 80% of the farm bill now. And there was a lot of people here that feel like it's time to separate those two and to have just a true ag production bill. So the House Whip team has been checking to see if they've got the votes for that, and we have not heard where they're at on that. I just suspect that they don't have the votes for that yet, and so they are perhaps looking at other options. And I don't know all of the options, but one certainly would be to go back and to leave it as it came out of the Ag Committee, which I sit on, which does still keep them both together, and perhaps just try to run the version of the bill that passed out of committee without the amendments that were added, which were found very objectionable by several of the Democrats, and they dropped their support at the last minute. And what those were is to allow states to allow for drug testing for food stamp recipients and to allow for work requirements to be put onto food stamp program if a state wanted to do that. And about 20 Democrats said that they thought that went too far, and so they changed their vote, and that was part of the reason that the bill went to defeat. So there is that option, but then, you run into other people feeling like that's not the right thing to do, and so I'm not sure what we're going to end up with, but I'm certainly committed myself to trying to keep moving forward and get this done.
Well, personally, Vicky, I know I haven't spoken to you since the defeat. How did you feel after that? And at this point, personally, how would you like to see it handled in a perfect world if you could just do it yourself?
Well, I was very surprised. Usually the House leadership does not bring a bill up to the floor and bring it to a vote unless they think they, feel confident that they have the votes. And to have a defeat and a major defeat like that was pretty stunning. And I just sat there and scratched my head because I, being a lifelong farmer myself and a person that represents a largely rural district, I understand how important it is to have a farm bill and to have that safety net for the American consumer. I understand that it's important for our food security as a nation to have that safety net, and the reason that the American consumer is able to enjoy the safest, most affordable food supply in the world is because of these programs. And for people to vote against it just kind of baffles me and is very frustrating for me. So that's how I felt. Now, as far as going forward, I think there probably is some merit in trying to split the bill to get the votes of the almost 70 Republicans that voted no. And that seemed to be, on the day of the vote, what a lot of them were saying, is that we want to, split this. And, for various reasons, some felt like the cuts were disproportionately harmful to ag compared to the food stamp side. You could make that argument, cutting about $20 billion from both sides when the food stamp side actually is 80% of the bill, and so that's, not necessarily equal. And so, let's try it. And so I think that's an approach that, I would support. However, I do have concerns if we do get that passed in the House, what that's going to do in conference committee, because the Senate has passed a complete bill that has both sides to it, added to it. So then how do you negotiate only the farm side with a bill that has the farm and the nutrition assistance side as well? And I think that makes kind of for sticky parliamentary procedure. And we risk having a bill come back that has the Senate version of the nutrition assistance side, which only cuts $4 billion. And the original House version I've been working on cuts $20 billion of waste, fraud, and abuse from the system. And so it actually would be a weaker version than what we originally wanted. So there's a lot to consider, but I hope we'll be able to move forward with some version and get it done this year.
Well, another issue that came up with the bill that's caused some people to vote against it was the dairy amendment that was passed. And I know dairy is important in the state of Missouri. What did you think about that particular addition to the bill? And did you vote for it? Would you like to see it remain in there? You know, I know that the dairy industry, maybe not as a whole, but a good portion of the dairy industry liked it the way it was.
Yes, I did support the new dairy program that was put forth in the bill in Ag Committee. It came out of Ag Committee. I did not support removing it on the House floor. It did prevail, though. And so, you know, I think, you know, that is concerning. But it did pass in the Senate version, so that's something that could be worked out in conference and wasn't a given for sure that it wouldn't be there in the final version.
Well, and it's really sad, I think, that this is the first time this has ever happened. Not only did we not pass a farm bill last year, but now we're sitting here again facing the possibility of maybe another extension. And, you know, how do you feel like that, being a part of the House and a farmer yourself, to be a part of this situation where this is something that's never happened before?
Well, it is frustrating, but I do believe there is a precedent in past years where it took over a year. There was a one-year extension, I believe, in 2007 and passed in 2008 and some years past. So I guess that's not totally, new, but as far as having it to try to be extended twice certainly would be, and having it defeated on the House floor once is new as far as I know. So it is frustrating. For me, like I said, as a farmer, as a farm girl who understands the importance of these programs, and I think it just speaks to all of us in agriculture that we need to do a better job of explaining our story to people who don't come from a farm and who don't understand these programs, and to make sure they understand how vital they are, and then how the version of this bill does cut a lot of the waste, fraud, and abuse, and saves taxpayer dollars on the farm side as well. You have some people that call this welfare for farmers, and I totally object to that. This version of the bill did away with direct payments, did away with the ACRE program, the SURE program, the counter-cyclical programs, and it established only a safety net in truly years where you have very low commodity prices that would be below the cost of production, or you have a devastating drought like last year. And I try to make people understand that this is an investment by the American consumer and the taxpayer that they get reap benefits back multifold for them by helping enabling the American farmer to grow the crops at the cheapest price of anywhere in the world. And so when the person who lives in the city who doesn't understand these programs and opposes the farm bill goes to the grocery store, they can pick up a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk and pay less than $10 for those things. And you go anywhere else, that's not the way it is. And so they're reaping an investment, a return on their investment. It's good for America. It's good for our security. And we need to move forward with it.
Let's talk about something that is making progress, and that's what's being discussed in the House this week. Considered several amendments in the last couple of days to the Energy and Water Project Spending Bill. Talk to me about that, because renewable energy we know is big in Missouri, a very important segment of the economy there for the farmers, corn and soybean farmers. Tell me about some of the things that are in this bill and some of the amendments that have been considered. It sounds like there are some cuts in this bill to renewable energy projects.
Well, it does, keep a kind of a priority and a balance in that we do have some focus on energy programs, but it does reduce some of the spending for some of the renewable green programs and some of the research. But it still is there. They're not eliminated. But we've got to do more with less, And, you know, so I think that's what the purpose of some of those cuts are. It does also take care of ensures that our nation is prepared for current and future nuclear threats by maintaining the safety and readiness of our nuclear stockpile to make sure we have that nuclear deterrence that our country needs. And then it has a piece to make sure we have the infrastructure to encourage commerce, create jobs, such as making sure the Army Corps of Engineers has funding for navigation and flood control, you know, that there's waterways that pays for that, and promotes the all of the above energy approach, so not just renewables, to make sure, though, that there's also initiatives to reduce our nation's dependence on foreign oil, keeping some technology there and some research going in those areas as well, and hope that that'll help reduce some of our high gas prices. So it's kind of a comprehensive energy bill dealing with not just renewables and research and nuclear, and also fossil fuels research and programs, but then also the energy side, which does deal a lot with national security and our nuclear program. And a lot of the amendments have been trying to take money from the nuclear deterrence programs and put it to other things. And I personally oppose that because I'm on Armed Services Committee as well as Agriculture Committee. And I think it's very important that we keep a very strong national defense, and that includes this very strong nuclear deterrent component.
Well, I know that a couple of amendments that were turned back would have given, I guess, the federal government a little bit more authority, the Army Corps of Engineers in particular, in determining waters that were covered under the Clean Water Act. And that was, I guess, one of the amendments was defeated. Talk a little bit about that and the importance of how the Clean Water Act is being implemented by the federal government and concerns that farmers may have about that.
Well, there's a lot of concerns about how they're going to and are trying to do that, whether they're trying to go around the word navigable and basically make it so they have jurisdiction over any water hole or any pond or lake or stream that you may have on your property, which would encompass a huge part of the United States, and that just would be another attack on our freedoms as Americans. And it seems like we're every day having an encroachment by some government agency further into the freedoms of our lives and having big government looking over our shoulders or trying to regulate how we live our lives. And that's what the founders of our country fought for and what men and women have throughout the years defended is our freedoms and liberties. And they are under attack here. And so I was glad to see that amendment defeated. But we have to be vigilant here in every front and try to beat back the strong arm of government and allow people to have the freedom to do with their land and their lives as they wish.
Tell me about this particular bill, the Energy and Water Projects funding bill, in relation to the whole budget process.
It will start here. This is part of the budget process, and I'm on the budget committee as well. The budget is that we passed in the House kind of brings the framework for our plan for funding government and the government programs over the next 10 years, and we put different spending priorities and parameters. Then the meat of the bones is put on the skeleton in the different appropriations committees, and they look at the specifics within each department. They're giving one number, so many million or billion dollars for their entire budget, but then they get to break it down into more specifics within the various programs and how that looks. And what we're doing overall, big picture, is spending less. The goal of our budget is to balance the federal budget within 10 years, and it can be done without raising taxes, which is totally different than the Senate's approach. So you're going to see all of these appropriations bills. This covers the Department of Energy and has water development a portion in there as well over the Army Corps of Engineers. That's going to be spending less overall than last year because we're trying to spend less in each department. So that means we have to be smarter and wiser in how we spend our dollars. We have to look at every government program and see, is this the best use of taxpayer dollars? Is the program needed? Is it efficient? Is it effective? Could it be done better? Or could it be eliminated? And it's a very good, healthy process that we are doing, and it's long overdue. And that's why you will see some amendments to cut further on the floor. People find different programs they think are wasteful that the committee didn't propose, and so they're bringing forth, you know, new ideas, and, you know, I applaud those efforts. One of the amendments that just passed a few minutes ago would have eliminated funding for the Advanced Technology Vehicles Manufacturing Loan Program, and that basically is kind of giving loans for electric cars, and, you know, that's something that perhaps a private bank could do if somebody wants to buy an electric car, but I don't think maybe it's right for them to take your tax dollars and to promote electric cars. So that was able to save $6 million, and it passed. So these are the type of the analysis that we're doing as we go through this budget, and we're going to do it for every department that's here. And hopefully you get all that done, and the Senate, in an ideal world, would agree to it, pass it, and then that would be our actual spending bill for next year.
All right. Thank you very much, and we appreciate you trying to get something done there in Washington.
We're going to keep at it.
All right. Best of luck. Thanks so much for calling. All right. Bye-bye.